Hey, this is Matt.
Hey, this is Joe.
Hey, this is Mark.
From Rains.
And you're listening to Tobin Tonight.
I want to welcome you guys, number one, to the podcast, Tobin Tonight. I am here in Canada. I know you guys have all different backgrounds, one from UK, two from the States. We'll get into a little bit about the story there, but this is the hard-hitting question I want to start off with. Dunkaroos.
Love
Do you know what Dunkaroos are?
Absolutely. I love Dunkaroos.
I've never had them.
Is it like a little breadstick you dunk in? Oh, no, it's not. What is it?
It's like a cookie that has like a rainbow kind of cream to it. Think of it like a cake almost. The icing is like cake icing, and it's like a stick, like a cracker. I grew up on these, and then I found that they were in our Sobeys, and I was like, yes, immediately buying these.
I like the chocolate Dunkaroos.
Chocolate ones are good as well. I had these hidden in my room because I knew my niece and nephew would like them, and we just dropped her off to dance, and she was like, Brian, and I was like, yeah, Mal. She was like, where'd you get the Dunkaroos to? I was like, fuck. It's like, didn't hide them well enough. And then I told her, and then I was like, you could have taken, like, in my mind, because we're already left the house, we're not going back. I was like, oh, Molly, you could have taken one. But if she had to take one, I would have been like, you brat, you bring that back. Have you guys been to Canada at all?
Yeah, well, you haven't been, have you?
I've been to Montreal Airport. That's as
okay.
In Canada as I've ever been.
So no.
I could tell you're from, I knew already, but I could tell once you started talking, you are a true Canadian.
Yes. Is it the accent?
Just there's a few little inflections, like when you say like out and stuff, there's a bit more of a out, you know?
That's fair.
Him and I are from North Dakota. He doesn't count because he doesn't really have an accent. But when I'm home, my accent really starts flying. So
there's pockets in Canada where it's different accents. Like I'm from Newfoundland. So it's the Irish kind of comes out every now and again.
Oh, cool.
I remember having a roommate from BC. So it's the other part of Canada completely. And she told me, I'm not picking up on your accent at all. I was like, give it time. My mom called like 2 days after I moved in. And she was just like, Brian, like your life's a mess. What are you doing in university? And then the walls are like paper thin. So I was like, Mother, I'm trying my best up here to do what I'm doing. Like, you gotta leave me alone. And then immediately girl comes out from the room. Now I know you're from Newfoundland. I got the accent. And I'm like, yes, it comes out when I'm mad.
Wow.
That was seamless.
Yeah. Holy shit.
If you get me in a game of Mario Kart and I'm losing bad, that's when it comes out. It'll just be like, it goes from like, hey, Bradley, want to jump on Mario Kart? He's like, absolutely. I'd be like, oh, I'm in first place. This is great. Next minute, motherfucker, what are you doing? What are you fucking doing? I don't know, like that at all. It goes after you. But that's enough about me. I want to start with you guys. Tell me a little bit about how you formed this band. I know you had mentioned it, but two of you are from North Dakota. Now, judging a little bit of the bio, I think you have probably a more interesting story than this guy just thought I was really cool and he was like, yeah, I want to hang out with you. Because that sounds that sounds lame to me, man. If I went up to someone in university and said, hey, you look cool, they'd be like, get the fuck out of here, dweeb.
Okay. He had been living in like LA and then Phoenix and he decided he wanted to go back to college. So he transferred to a university in our home state of North Dakota. And I saw this dude who looked dope. And I'm a pretty outgoing guy and I was like, I got to introduce myself. Like, I just had to. We just had this vibe that drew me towards him, which not a lot of people, I guess, did. And I went up to him, and I'm pretty sure I talked in a Matthew McConaughey accent, which the time I thought it'd be charming. Not at all. And flash forward, that was the initial, like, contact that we had. We didn't really hang out until a few years later, a couple years later. And something was bringing us together. I don't know what that was, but it was bringing us together. And we started doing some music together. I guess you could say jamming, even though we both did not like to jam. I was not the jamming type. You weren't either.
I'm not, yeah.
Matt had been writing songs for, at that time, about 13 years. This was in the end of – this was like end of 2015, beginning of 2016. And we started going out to L.A. and – kind of getting on the scene in that way. And we wanted to really take this music project further. and we didn't have a beautiful, handsome lead singer yet. And we both can sing, but not like you need to. And take it from here.
Yeah, well, so yeah, that is exactly what happened. And to be honest, bro, I was like, when Joe came up and introduced himself, I was a little bit like, who is this person? Like, why are you doing this? But yeah, like Joe said, yeah, we started, playing together, and then yeah, needed a singer who was better than Joe and myself. So this is the weirdest part of the story, is just that we were like just looking for a needle in a haystack, right? Because like we had no idea if the person we wanted even like existed. But after, what was it, Joe, like a month or so, looking through like Instagram, Craigslist ads, just like, you know, band musician pages and all this stuff, I actually scrolled across a video of Mark playing like a cover that was, it was like on some vocal feature page. I showed Joe right away and I was like, this guy is perfect. Like he's ideal for, you know, what we want, but he was in England. So I was trying not to get my hopes up, but I messaged Mark and I, you know, kind of explained the situation and he got back to me right away and was like, yeah, I'm interested.
Wow.
But I actually was like, well, you double texted me because I didn't respond.
I did. Yeah. So my side of the story is I'm over in the UK doing music on my own and I'm from the northeast of England, a place called Durham.
Okay.
I was studying at the time, but I've always did music most of my adult life at least. And then I was just playing shows all across the country, just playing in bars and pubs and, you know, doing the whole solo singer conquest. And then I always wanted to be in a band, but that opportunity never really presented itself for one reason or another. And then I was posting stuff on my own social media as every budding singer does. And then, yeah, I suppose one of my videos had been featured on this vocal feature page and the guys stumbled across it, which is still, every time we tell someone this story, it still amazes me and us that even happened in the first place. You know, what are the chances? And then for it to work out is even slimmer. So they literally, Matt texted me and I was really keen. I was like, yeah, this sounds great. Probably naively keen. I was like, this could be literally anyone trying to get me on a plane to America. But but no, I was really excited. And then so excited that I actually, yeah, Matt ignored my first message. So I sent him another video that I had done and was like, hey, still here. I'm still interested. And then Matt finally responded. And then we jumped on a phone call. We all just kind of chatted for a while about primarily what you guys had already done and what was happening around the band already. And I got even more excited. And I think that put any fears of this being a waste of time to one side quite quickly. It was like, okay, you know, they got at the time a publishing deal on the table and they're talking to this person and they're doing this and they have all these songs already. So it felt like a real opportunity at that point. And then I literally within about 10 days of that first intro, these guys booked me on a plane to LA and that was it.
I like the story, but I'm also interested because obviously you pick up on the accent, but it'd be funny if they were like, yeah, this guy's from Durham, Ontario. That's just up the hop. He'll be here in no time. And then you like they text you. Easy. Like, you're like, are you on your way? What's on the go? And then it'd be like, I'm from the UK. And then be like, oh, sorry, we didn't mean to bother you. Like that's
never mind.
Yeah, this is something that I've personally never publicly said about this story, but it's true.
I can't wait.
And I was so over looking for this dang lead singer that once we found him, and I was like, okay, he's got a great voice. Oh, I just hope he's tall. And yes. I hope that he's cool. And it turns out Mark is both. This dude's got legs like a tall glass of milk. I mean,
are you sorry, saying that?
I asked him on the phone, how tall are you?
He did. Yeah, he did. Yeah,
he did. And he was like, I don't know, 6'4". And I was like, oh, nice.
So I'm just curious, like if you're saying that if he was in North Dakota, you'd be walking up to him and being like, hey, man, you seem cool.
Mark? Yeah, I would.
That is how Joe operates. So that does make sense.
And I probably would have received it better than Matt probably did.
I mean, I was cool. I was nice, but I was just like,
He was doing DeFans. He don't want to pretend like, hey man, like, you know, that's nice of you to come up to me. He was just kind of like, hey, like, this is what it is. No, I do the same thing. When I was 20 odd years old and walking up to people in like a Ontario, now I know it's not the same, but I'd be like, hey, I'm Tobin. I'm from Newfoundland. And Newfoundland, they're like, oh, you guys are super friendly. Instant friendship. But then as soon as I was like, open my mouth a little bit more, I'm like, what are you at? They're like, all right, I don't understand what the fuck he's talking about. He got to go. And I'm like, all right, fair enough. But I read, and you can tell me if this is true, Matt, but kind of like me in a similar sense, I went to university. I was getting ready to do some courses, but I was mostly trying to skip class and do my own thing. Was that kind of what you were doing? Like, you know?
Yeah, I really was. Yeah. So a funny story is that it was my second like attempt at college. Cause I went to orientation for one university in my hometown, and they started I was accepted. I was like ready to go. And they started talking about like the parking passes and all this like paperwork stuff. And I left and I was like, I'm not going to college. So after that, because like I wanted to do music, and that was like, that's too much. That's not what I want to deal with. I was in LA for a bit. You know, I had like $20 the entire time. But I went back to North Dakota, and, you know, I graduated and my grades were fine or whatever, but I was usually skipping class and like just, you know, holing up in my dorm room writing songs and learning how to play weird instruments. So
I like those stories. I want to ask you a little bit about a deep diver into this, but when you came from the UK, tell me that, because I know it sounds great. It sounds like this thing that you were ready to go, you were up and running, but like, do you tell people? Do you just leave without telling people? Or like, because I believe someone has to convince you, like, hey, those guys over there in North Dakota, it's a fraud, man. It's a fraud.
Yeah, well, that was definitely, I think, my parents' first response. So like, have you spoken to these two guys? And I was like, yes, I have. I am so lucky that I have such an amazing group of friends and family members around me that everyone has, for the most part, my entire life, been so supportive in what I've done in anything, but in music in particular. So I think when I was excited about the opportunity and I sort of mentioned that I'd spoken to the boys and I felt comfortable going over there and stuff, that everyone else was like, you got to go do it. You have to go do it. And I did bring some backup just in case. I brought two of my friends over from the UK as well. So just in case anything went a bit south quickly, but everyone made friends very quickly. But yeah, it sounds like it would have been a hard thing to decide on, but you know, I was studying anthropology at university, and look, I enjoyed it. It was interesting to a degree, but I've always wanted to do music, and this just felt like one of those opportunities that just literally fell from the sky, and I would have been so stupid had I not taken it. And look, being from the UK and being in a band with two guys in the US, a lot of paperwork, as you can imagine, but you know, we've managed to navigate that recently, which has been great, and it's part of the story. And you know, I think it's made us be able to play shows in the UK primarily. And, you know, these guys have traveled and we've been all over the place. So whilst it's been difficult not being together all the time, and COVID obviously happened, so that was like 2 years apart, which really sucked. It's all been worth it. And I wouldn't have done it any other way.
I like that you say like on this, obviously, because like people will see that it sucked, but I'm sure there's a part of you that was just like, yes, I get to leave, and they're probably like, yes, we get to do things like, you know, we the music side hurt, but then there's a personal side where it's just like, guess what, now we can mock him because he's no longer here. And then when you go back home, you're like, oh, this is how I talk over there.
I get mocked all the time when I'm in the room, don't you worry.
Hello, I'm Wendy Mesley.
There you are. A lot of people have wondered what happened to you.
I could say the same about you, Maureen Holloway.
Well, here we are, a few years after we left our previous jobs. We've been busy.
We have a podcast. I know, you're thinking, who doesn't? But ours is really good. It's called Women of Ill Repute.
We don't just talk to women, though. Just the most interesting people you'd ever want to meet.
Artists, musicians, comedians, doctors.
Activists, convicts, writers, sex workers.
Drop some names.
Jan Arden, Pamela Anderson, Bruce Coburn.
Samantha Irby, Louise Penny, Marilyn Dennis, Colin Mochrie.
We laugh, we cry, sometimes we argue. Come and find us.
Our website is womenofillrepute.com.
Or try Apple, Spotify, and all the podcast places.
So now you know what happened to us. Women of Ill Repute.
I want to ask you, because of course, going into COVID, and like you said about the 2 years apart, like I know speaking to other bands and other acts, like it's a hard time because there are people trying to do Instagram Live. There's the dilemma of like, okay, we're kind of in a pandemic. It's not always about me, but it's like, well, how are you making money? Like, how are you going to keep the band going? Some people go on hiatus. Like, tell me that whole mindset, because, you know, he's gone. You two are still trying to figure out your end of the deal here. So, like, how did you make it work? Because I believe you did do kind of an EP where you just kind of sampled, like, all during different parts of the world sampled together. But was there a point in time where you sat there and, like, fuck, like, what are we doing?
Well, yeah, that's a really good question. I think the first answer is just like, yeah, because we know a lot of artists and bands too, who, you know, sort of like didn't make it through the pandemic, right? Like they broke up, or they kind of, you know, reevaluated and went a different direction. But for us, like, there was never a question of like, is this going to continue? You know, we were just like, we have to kind of weather this particular storm. And obviously no one, you know, knew how it was going to end or like how long it was going to take. But yeah, it was almost 2 years that we didn't see Mark. And the issue with that too is like, he was in a different country and like literally not allowed to come. Whereas like I saw Joe, I mean, a couple times, not very many, but a couple times during the pandemic. And then, so that was good. And we were able to like record stuff, but yeah, there was no, we couldn't be with, you know, all together. You know, we thought at the sort of, I guess near the beginning, we were like, you know, we can do something with this still, like, even though, you know, no one, like, we can't really make any money, we can't play shows, whatever else, but, you know, we have time, like, that's the thing, everyone had time. And so we were like, why don't we just try and like release something, you know, like, what are we going to do if not that, really? Because, you know, there was no other like source of income, and we didn't have any other like plans, I guess. So we were just kind of sitting in our studios, sending files back and forth for several months. And yeah, that was our big pandemic project, I guess.
But it's interesting you say about, it's not all about me, because we did have that dilemma, you know, before we kind of embarked on that EP. We're like, is it insensitive to release music? Is it insensitive to try and promote something now? People are dying all over the world. This crazy thing is going on. And then we just kind of had a flip of, you know, a slight change of mindset. I thought, you know, people are craving something to make them feel good more than ever. So we just thought, you know what, let's just put something out. And we didn't really have any expectations for it. And it was very much kind of a, not a throwaway EP, but it was, you know, mainly acoustic stuff. And we were limited to what we could record with us being in different parts of the world and stuff. But we put something together that we're pretty proud of. And, you know, someone literally got a thigh tattoo of the artwork, and we're like, okay, well, we touched a couple of people in a good way, so that was
that's when you send, like, as a PR person, because listen, that's when I come in and I'd be like, as your PR guy, super sick tattoo, Kyle. And then as soon as they respond, you're like, block them now. Like, that person got a tattoo of your album artwork. It's like, listen, they're gonna come to your show and they're gonna try to show it to you. And you're going to be like, please tell me it's on an elbow. It's like, no, it's on my arse. And you'd be like, you're like, that's okay. I did want to mention that. Like, I'll let you go there, like, off. But, like, I was a part of the help here. Look, this is my iTunes. I recently bought this, but it's the Lemon Drop.
Nice.
Whoa.
Yeah. I got, so, thank like, I bought that. I, you know, I am going to buy the other one. Relax. Like, but I heard that the other day, and it kind of gave me vibes of, now, way back when I used to work at, when I was like 16 or 17, Elvis Isn't Dead, and they're from like they're a UK band. I think it's Scouting for Girls. There you go.
Oh, yeah. And
so I like them. And then when I went to my university stage, Picture This was just rising. And I love Picture This.
Yeah, I love that,
so
as well.
I'm putting you up there with them, because as soon as I heard it, I was like, I like the pop sound. I like that it's a little bit different. It kind of reminds me, like, listen, no offense to Ed Sheeran, love Ed Sheeran, but like certain songs, I'm like, okay, Ed, that's a little bit too pop for me. Bring it back to when you were like just starting off, but still love Ed. But I put you in that class where it's very distinctive, but you get like a good vibe and song of that. And the other side of that is when, I think, Joe, when you had your mom listen in, I was like, oh, like she's trying so hard to be like, oh yeah, it's like, I love it. And like, I've heard this before. And you're like, no, you can't act like you've heard it before. And I'm just like, yes, don't make it worse. Just tell him honestly. You preach us to be honest with you. But as soon as you put on a song, it's like, oh my God, yes, I love it. It's just like, no, just tell me if you like it or don't. Don't act on
it. That was really funny when we did that. We were like, right, it's going to be staged to some degree, but also be honest.
And
they're like singing along. We're like, oh, all right, let's just.
I always wonder about that because there's points in time where you'll see someone on Instagram where it's like, I showed my boyfriend my song. And then it's like, you know, instantly you'd probably play that 3 or 4 times. Like, all right, you better fucking like
it. Yeah, exactly.
But there's a point in time where I'd love it to just go off the rails where it's live. And it's just to like, I played my boyfriend this song. This fucking artist sucks. And it'd be like, that's actually me. It'd be like, and live. And then that's your promo.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. Because then more
people. I mean, that is, like, that's a way better idea. Yeah, we should do that.
Because that's been hard for us. Like, you know, being, you know, in our late 20s, early 30s, like this whole new wave of music promotion and stuff is like pretty alien to us. And, you know, you have to join in to some degree. And it's kind of been like those, you know, reaction videos. But whilst it is fun to do that stuff, like we're a band, you know, we don't want to be really doing those kind of videos, but we also realize that unfortunately that's just kind of part of the game these days.
I think it's easy to hop on a trend, and sometimes it's like I'll be the first one to say, like, I'll see a trend. I think they ended one with this year at 2022, and they had the guy, it's like, that concludes the season for 2022, and I really wanted to jump on that to show what I did in 2022, but it was like, you know, the World Juniors was on. I'm Canadian, so I love hockey. And then I was like, man, I don't even have enough time to edit this together. And then when I scroll the next day and seen every goddamn person doing it, I'm like, good, I'm out of that trend. It's like, I skipped the trend. I feel good. But sometimes you just got to start a trend. Like, you have a very distinct combination here. Maybe you should do like a trend where it's like UK versus US, or like, this is the stuff that, like, this is how we say things. This is how they say things. Or, and like, people will eat that up too. And they'll be like, okay, I like their content, but what else do they do? And then like, oh, they do music. Okay, let me check out the music. Oh, right, now I'm gonna download that. You know, there you go. This degree came in good hands. Okay. I want to ask you guys a little bit about your new song. Like, tell me a little bit about it, how it came to be, and the whole process of that. Because I know when artists release new music, they're real amped up to see how it does. They're really excited to promote it, but I feel like me when it comes out with a new episode, I'm like, oh God. I was like, I kind of hope people just like it. And they're like, I hate this host, but I love the guest. I'm like, all right, that's all that matters.
So I think driving back home, we did, when was that? We started that.
It was June 2019. We started it.
There we go.
Wow. Okay.
So like, you know, all that song and like kind of all the upcoming releases are like sort of, we've been sitting on so many songs, and we're just excited to be able to get some out there. So that one, we started in LA with a guy named a producer called Mighty Mike. And he also was the guy who worked with us on like on the first three singles, Lemon Drop and Come My Way and Second Thought. And we were just kind of, a few days like that week, I think we went over to his place and just, you know, worked on some ideas. And that one came together kind of with the basis of that like mandolin, violin, sort of pizzicato riff. We sort of workshopped it, and I think we had the bones of it, and then we had a chorus that I don't know how you guys felt about it at the time, but I like, it wasn't doing it for me, and I was like, this is a great song, but the chorus is like really lacking and sort of ruins the whole thing. And so we left the studio, went back, and I think I woke up at like, you know, 3 a.m. or something. I was like, I got this, there's got to be a better chorus. So I like scrapped the whole chorus and wrote just an entirely new one. And then I showed Mark and Joe when they woke up, you know, 5 hours later. I wake up way too early, but, and they loved it. So we were like, okay, amazing. Like, let's get back in the studio, cut that. And so, yeah, so then we had a demo with Mike, and, you know, part of the problem, I guess, of, you know, again, being a, you know, international band is like, when we're not in the same place at the same time, it's hard to like, you know, all be in LA with the same producer at the same time and schedule things. So with that one, I was like, well, I bet I could sort of reproduce it. So we used a lot of like Mike's sort of the bones of what he had, his ideas, and then kind of, just redid it, re-recorded kind of everything.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. And then we more recently, because we, even after we had a version, we kind of again sat on it for a while, and then I think we were driving either up to North Dakota or back from North Dakota or something, and we kind of had the idea to do this project as a whole and drive you back home, you know, kind of being the first episode of this 7-episode miniseries, musical miniseries that we're doing. It made sense to be the opening single, I think. And it's a bit of a different turn to what we put out in the past. You know, I think the instrumentation is still very much us with the strings and the harmonies and the big chorus and stuff, but it's a bit darker, which we liked, and it just felt like a really good start to this project. And then we had this song, and then all the other songs besides, I think, one or two already existed in some format from honestly like years ago. And then we just thought, if you put these together in a certain order, they actually all make sense as one cohesive story. I mean, Matt rewrote some lyrics to a few bits and pieces and stuff, but and then we just got really excited about it. And then we thought, let's just do it. And that's one thing we've been very good at kind of over the past, I'd say, year or so in particular, not really waiting for anyone, just putting our mind to it and just doing it. Yeah. And that's worked out pretty well so far.
I don't think I've asked Axe this one before, but I'm just intrigued because, like, when you're saying that you had certain songs that you're sitting on, and then when you're saying, okay, this is the song we release. Now, sometimes when you got a label behind you, they kind of dictate which kind of songs. Like, I grew up in the 90s, so I grew up with like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, and now you see them kind of do podcasts where they talk about that stuff. And I think it's interesting because it might have been in the Backstreet Boys documentary where they mentioned like the song I Want You Back. I think it was that one, but they ended up going with I Want It That Way, or it was one song, but Nick really wanted this one, and then the label chose this, and the label ended up getting it right, even though the other song was fine. But like, when you're saying, okay, this is the song we're going to release, this is the one we felt confident in, like, how do you kind of come to those terms? Is it like a come to Jesus meeting where three of you, like, you know, one guy's like, actually, I don't like it. And then they're like, all right, we got to fucking like fight each other. And then whoever wins gets the last say. So that's what it would be like if I had a band of brothers. I can imagine the Jonas Brothers do that, where it's like Nick comes out on stage, be like, all right, this is the song we released. It's like, what's wrong with your eye? I don't want to talk about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because, you know, I've heard, you know, dozens of stories like that. It's like the artist wants something, the manager wants something, the label, the public, everyone, you know, has different sort of investments. But I think, you know, with us, it's always been like, we never vote, because the idea is like, we all need to be equally excited about whatever it is. And like a great thing for us now is like, we do have the freedom and sort of the creative control to make those decisions on our own, right? So like, I'm sure if we were releasing sort of this project, these 7 songs, like on a major label, I don't think it would fly, because it's sort of like a mixtape, because, you know, they're all from different times, like written at different times. And the genres are sort of, it's a lot of like different vibes, you know, there's like sort of a rockish one, there's like an Afro pop type one, lots of different like influences and stuff. And they're not like necessarily cohesive, you know, sonically. I mean, they all sound like us, but we wanted to make it, you know, sort of a sampling, you know, of all kind of what we like and what we can do. So I would say we just always make sure that all three of us are like buzzing about whatever we're putting out. You know, like there's my example, I always say is there's one song that we released that I had written like the verse for and thought it was done, and Mark was like, that's still like the verse could be better. So I like wrote another verse, and he's like, I still think the verse could be better. And I think I did that like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 times. And then, you know, we finally hit on the right one, and we were like, you know, that's it. So we're never, you know, we never are like, I guess, precious about our own ideas. We're just like, you know, whatever the best idea is, that's what we're going to do. You know, we've all like had ideas and reworked them and thrown them away and whatever else, because, you know, the worst thing is like, if let's say I loved some song and refused to change it, and Joe and Mark were like, I guess, then like, they've got to play that, they've got to sing that, and they're not going to, you know, they're not going to be excited about it.
Hi, I'm Steve Yerko.
And I'm Tara Sands.
Now available from Maji Media is our new podcast, 4Kids Flashback. 4Kids is the company who brought you the English dub of Pokemon in the late 90s and so many other shows like Yu-Gi-Oh!, Shaman King, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kirby, the infamous One Piece dub, and so many more.
We'll be talking to the people who worked at 4Kids. Actors, directors, writers, editors, producers, engineers, you get the point. And hopefully get the answers to questions both you and I have about the company.
I actually worked there as a voice actor on some of the shows.
And I was a kid watching the shows and remember way more than Tara does.
And thank God for that. Steve is actually a professional storyboard artist, which gives some really unique insights into anime and animation. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. That's the number 4Kids Flashback.
I want to ask you like kind of an interesting topic, a little bit off the music side of things, but like we mostly did that. But do you remember, say, the best compliment or worst compliment as a band or as an individual that you received? I bring it up because we're trying to humble people.
Yeah. No, it's always good to stay humble.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to, listen, I'll toss one out and you can tell me if it's an insult or compliment, but like if someone came up to me today and it's just three of you guys and they didn't know the history, right? I'd be like, man, look, there's Luke Combs, there's Tyler Hubbard, and there's that guy from Picture This. Is it Jimmy or Ryan? And then someone would just be like, I don't even know who the fuck you're talking about. I'd be like, okay. I'm like, I don't know if I'm insulted that you don't know those three names or you're insulted that you don't know this band. Like, come on, I got to leave. Like, what's your problem?
That's a good one. There was one. So we did a TV show in the UK back in 2021. And it was a good opportunity. It was good exposure. The TV show bombed and it did not go as well. I mean, we did great. But the show itself didn't quite take off in the way that we were.
Are you reading a review for my podcast? Because that's what it sounds like.
and then after we played, you know, there was a bunch of Twitter comments about us. And I will say, you know, 90% were really positive, but there was a few really funny ones. You know, there's some saying like, just a budget Mumford & Sons. That was one that really stuck with me.
I love Mumford and Sons though.
Yeah, I know. So which is kind of doubly insulting because we love Mumford & Sons and we definitely have, you know, some similarities, especially like with the instrumentation, I guess.
Yeah.
But like we're also not really Mumford & Sons whatsoever. Like we're way more pop than that. So I was like, pick a better comparison at least.
Yeah, there was one like tweet or something, and it said something about how, you know, the lead singer was just a pretty face and the other guys were like clearly doing all the work or something. And I was like,
I was like, that's absolutely true.
I was surprised that they were able to, you know, figure that out just from a TV appearance.
That's when you go back in the room and then you sit down, like you wake up early, obviously, like you say at 3 a.m, you're like, is that actually true?
That's right. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm all in my head.
Yeah, I mean,
that whether it's an insult or a compliment is that we look like Tyler Hubbard and Luke Combs and Ryan Hennessy from Picture This.
That's, you know, that's what you have to do. Like, I know when you're talking about Instagram and trends, like I see ones all the time and all it takes is for one to just, you know, it's like one bad date. Once you have one bad date, the rest of them, that's what you remember. So like sometimes you'll go on Instagram and it's like, do you like Fall Out Boy and John Mayer? I'm like, yeah, separately, not combined. And they're like, right, check me out. I sound like both. And I'm just like, you sound nothing like them. And now you ruined it for me for every time I see an ad like that. But if it came across my Instagram where it's like, I'm Luke Combs, I'm Tyler Hubbard, and I'm the guy from Picture This, I'd be like, no, they're not. But it's like, but we could be. And I'd be like, yes, click, let me listen.
Right. Follow.
Yeah. I'd instantly be like, okay, gotcha. But you'd hook people, but then you're opening yourself up for someone to be like, not even close, boss. And then there's be someone be like, I'm so glad I checked this out. Like you got to dwindle it, the good with the bad.
Rough with the smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to end it off with a fun game here of random questions. So it's from a random question generator. I have no control over this, but again, feel free to tell me to fuck off. The first random question here is, who in the band is most likely to rage quit? Like just one day say, fuck you guys, I'm done.
Probably. Really? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Unanimous.
Yeah. I'm not even going to attempt it because like this is the part where then like 2 weeks later it's like band breaks up because they were on Toby.
This is what started.
Who in the band is the most pickiest eater? Like if you go out somewhere, they're like, oh yeah, I can see that.
You know, listen,
he's surprised.
I'm genuinely surprised by that.
Well, Mark's not a picky eater, but Joe and I are really not picky eaters.
Yeah,
and I'm really, really not.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Mark will eat anything.
I will.
We will eat anything.
Yeah,
I'll eat anything but tripe.
I'll eat tripe.
Yeah. So he's the least picky.
Sorry, you're
so, no, that's okay.
He's not picky, but he's the pickiest.
Yeah, really. I mean that is fair enough.
He's gonna be up now at 3 o'clock in the morning, go like, oh my god, this is how I get kicked out of the band. This is how I get kicked out.
No. Trying up octopus.
Yeah. Who do you think is the most likely to fall head over heels in love with a fan?
I mean, it's definitely Mark.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Mark loves falling in love. That's his favorite thing.
He loves love. Okay. Love's great. Honestly, I love that we have that in this group.
I will be, you know what? I will keep my eyes and ears open for the next time a song comes out by Reigns and it's a little bit more sad and depressive. Like, oh man, who broke his heart? Who did it?
Disclaimer, I have a lovely girlfriend who I'm very much in love with.
Okay. All right, that's good. If anything bad happens, we know why. No, I'm just kidding. Who do you think spends the most hours on video games?
Probably me.
Yeah.
Probably me. I'm not like, none of us are big gamers, but I mean, again, if we
play FIFA.
I play FIFA, you know, a bit of Call of Duty every now and again. I think as well, because there's probably a little bit of ADHD in all of us. I think that definitely helps. Because, you know, when you're in a band and you're trying to, you know, you're running your own business and you're always wearing so many hats and you're always thinking about new things and how we do this and how we do this. And it's just kind of nice to find something that switches your brain off even momentarily.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Who is an artist that you guys would like to collaborate with?
I think we all have different answers, don't we?
Yeah.
Mine's John Mayer, for sure.
I'm trying to think. All of mine are like dead. Well, I guess, you know what? Kate Bush, she's still alive.
Okay.
I love her.
I'm going to go with, I like Ernest, who is not in the pop world really at all. He's like a country, primarily a songwriter, but he's got a really good solo project and he has a bunch of hits under his belt. I really like him a lot. And also really like Lainey Wilson, who is very country.
Okay.
She's got a lot of twang, but I think she's got one of the coolest. She's just one of the coolest artists right now. Those are my two picks, Lainey Wilson and Ernest.
See, this is where my Ellen moment comes in, and I just like click on the link, and then all of them just pop up on the bottom of the screen. It's like, yeah. But except like one of you were supposed to pick like Luke Combs, I'd be like, oh, sorry, Luke. Oh, shit.
Yeah, sorry. We got to get out of
here. They didn't pick you, Luke. Oh, shit. And then he'd be like, I'm still here. I'm still in the chat. I'd be like, oh, god damn it. Remove Luke. Like, the last question I have, what are some things that you think you differ on together? Like if you're all out in public, and you see something or you hear something and you're like, man, like I would definitely have a different opinion on that than this guy in the band.
It's a great question. Mm.
It's almost like, what would break the band up? Like, all right, you don't like salt and vinegar Pringles? Fuck, how did you even get here?
There's definitely a few, like things we differ on. I'm just trying to think what would kind of be like a real...
Yeah, I don't know. Like, they're all very like minor things, I think. Like, you know, food and... Well, I guess sometimes... Well, even our musical like opinions are pretty similar. Like, it's rare that Mark will be like, "I love this song," and I'll be like, "I hate that song." You know,
that's trash. Turn it off.
Although Matt does hate a lot of songs,
that's true.
Like he's a critic, you know. There's a lot of respect in that hate.
Yeah, I do my homework. I love a lot of songs.
Him and I sometimes disagree on like, you know, but it's like it's always fun, you know.
Yeah,
like we never hate each other because of it.
that would just be like the Oasis moment where I think Matt Healy from like 1975 made a comment recently where he's like, how are you brothers and just not at any point in your lives just go like, hey, I know we hate each other, but there's a lot of people out there that would just like to hear us, like,
yeah,
no one, like, and he had a great quote. He's like, no one's going to see a Liam Gallagher concert, one's going to see a flying whatever, like whatever his fan is. Like
flying bird. Yeah.
They that wouldn't rather go to an Oasis concert. And I'm like, that's damn, true. That's a nail in the goddamn coffin right there. Yep. Like,
you got to put your differences aside, guys.
But then, you know what the funny thing is if both of them went on a separate podcast and they're like, we fucking hate Matt Healy. And I'd be like, there you go. There's the common denominator. That brings you together. And then Matt Healy would be like, I knew it would work. And I'd be like,
that's going to do it for this episode of Tobin Tonight. Our thanks to Reigns for coming on to the show. Remember, you can find past, present, and future episodes on TobinTonight.com, Spotify, and iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and leave a comment or two. For Tobin and myself, this is Jacob saying thank you for listening, and good night.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.